on some of y'all. I pray for all of y'all, but some of y'all. Help me, Lord. We ready? You ready, Mom? All right. Matthew chapter 1. Matthew chapter 1. Do we have enough cookies for a quiet prize? We do? All right. Ellie. Violet. You're not a mom. You three? You ain't got a shot in the world. All right, I'm sorry. I wasn't talking to you three ladies back there in the corner. You got to be specific in church sometimes. People get talking about those three. The what? The Three Stooges. I was thinking more of the Wizard of Oz. What were those three? The Lollipop Kids back there. Amen. Oh, my soul. Matthew chapter 1. I don't want to get too far in the weeds. Got plenty of time. Look at that clock, man. Whew, set the bar last week, didn't we? 12:40, baby. I got till 12:40. Matthew, thank you. Got one amen there. Amen. Where's Ryan? Wasn't he here this morning? Oh, there he is. Okay. Matthew chapter 1 and verse 1. The book of the generation of Jesus Christ. Let that sink in. All right, it's mom. It's mom day. Gonna read the, you remember, does anybody remember back in the day when they had them family Bibles? They put them big old giant family Bibles, and what was in the front few pages? They had that genealogy. It's important. We've forgotten those things. How important a genealogy is sometimes. The book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Abraham begat Isaac, and Isaac begat Jacob, and Jacob begat Judas and his brethren, and Judas begat Perez and Zerah of Tamar, and Perez begat Esram, and Esram begat Aram. Now, if you're one to write in your Bible, there's a preposition in verse 3. Did anybody see it? Thank you. Thank you for the Christian school teacher we have down front here. And of. Of is a preposition. Circle that. It's very significant. Very significant. Of Tamar, and Perez begat Esram, and Esram begat Aram. Now, in our family Bibles or our genealogies, it's important we place both the male and the female in there. If you'll notice in the Bible, many times it only places the what? The man in there. And some people get, oh, Christians are so misogynistic and everything. Because we want everything to be about us, don't we? The Bible's about him. It's all about him. The theme is him, but there's other little tiny little themes in there. And we have one this morning. And we are introduced to it with a preposition. Of Tamar, and Perez begat Esram, and Esram begat Aram, and Aram begat Abinadab, and Abinadab begat Naasson, and Naasson begat Salmon, and Salmon begat Boaz, a Ray. There's another of. Look at that. We've got two so far. How about that? Of who? Rahab, and Boaz begat Obed. There's another one. There's a third one. Of Ruth. And Obed begat Jesse. And if you're any time in Scripture, or any time being saved, when you see these names, you start thinking, oh, I remember that story in 1 Kings and 2 Kings and the book of Ruth, and I remember that in Samuel and so on and so forth. And Jesse begat David, the king, verse 6. And David, the king, begat Solomon. Of, oh, we've got a fourth one, of no name. There's no name mentioned. How would you like this in your family Bible? Of her that had been the wife of Urias. And Solomon begat Rehoboam, and Rehoboam begat Abiah, and Abiah begat Asa, and Asa begat Josaphat, and Josaphat begat Joram, and Joram begat Uzziah, and Uzziah begat Joatham, and Joatham begat Achaz, and Achaz begat Ezekias, and Ezekias begat Manasseh, and Manasseh begat Amon, and Amon begat Josias, and Josias begat Jeconias and his brethren about the time they were carried away to Babylon. And after they were brought to Babylon, Jeconias begat Salathiel, and Salathiel begat Zorobabel, and Zorobabel begat Abiud, and Abiud begat Eliakim, and Eliakim begat Azor, and Azor begat Zadok. Whew! And Zadok begat Achim, and Achim begat Eliad, and Eliad begat Eleazar, and Eleazar begat Maathan, and Maathan begat Jacob, and Jacob begat Joseph, the husband of Mary. Now don't get thrown off with those, of whom, there's the of, was born Jesus, who is called Christ. So all the generations from Abraham to David are 14 generations, and from David until the carrying away into Babylon are 14 generations, and from the carrying away into Babylon unto Christ are 14 generations. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, when as his mother, Mary, was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, well, there's a lot of Bible right there. And there's a lot of modern day Bible that has been absolutely disregarded in homes and families. Espoused means he's asked for her hand in marriage. We ain't shacking up. We ain't living together. We're not trying this out for a while. See how it works. Before they came together, that's a very nice way of saying before they had a physical relationship, so that sets another tone that's missing in our circles today. She was found with child. And there's another of the Holy Ghost. Let's pray and see if we can get something out of these ofs. Father, we ask you to help us today. Thank you for the Word of God. Thank you for this genealogical record that man cannot dispute. Right there before all mankind, and it can be questioned and it can be picked apart, but it stands the test of time. Historical record cannot be disputed in any way, shape, or form, and our world system of dating is even based upon it. How old we are, and AD and BC and such, and we thank you for it. Thank you for this moment in time that literally changed the world. We ask you to help us this morning. Speak to our hearts and our minds. Change us. Transform us. Touch the mothers that are in here. There is not a person in this church that has not been impacted or affected by a mother. Help us to draw the truths that are contained within to be a help and an exhortation, an encouragement, maybe even a reprove or a rebuke, that we might be who you intended us to be, I plead this morning. If someone in here doesn't know you as Savior, I pray by just what's being said and the genealogical record of who you are and what you've done will be a testimony enough to convict their soul and bring them to you and draw them to a personal relationship with you. We plead these things in Christ's name. Amen. Well, once again, we're here on Mother's Day. Obviously, we're not in the series, Fruit of the Spirit. We'll pick that one back up. That day today that everyone always feels, Jacob even said it. I don't know if he was peeking into my notes. It's the day that everyone always feels that moms get a pass and are exhorted and encouraged, while dads on Father's Day get reproved and rebuked. This is a pastor. I've preached how many Mother's Day services? You know how many times I've heard this thing? Oh, why are you so rough on us and you're so kind to them? I don't want to disappoint this morning. I don't want to disappoint anyone ever that may feel that way. So that's what I'm going to do this morning as well. I'm going to encourage. And I'm going to exhort the moms in here. Amen. She needs some, doesn't she? Having said that, I also realize I tend to give moms a pass. And someone says, he does? Sure I do. I see where she isn't as, I don't know, can I use this word, accountable as a man or a dad should be? The Bible says she's a weaker vessel, isn't she? Do I believe moms will be held accountable for their bad decisions? You better believe it. But I also realize sin didn't pass upon all men because Eve sinned. Get your head around that for a while. You start thinking about it and you say, hey, how was it Adam's fault? Poor guy was just doing what he was supposed to be doing, and here she is out gallivanting in the garden and talking to devils. How in the world did I get to be the problem in this situation? Well, obviously he wasn't keeping up with it. He didn't have Life 360. Now I got Life 360, it's hard to keep up with her. Jeez. I believe moms will be held accountable for their bad decisions. The greater responsibility, gentlemen, has always been to us. Embrace it now, Noah, embrace it, or regret it later. So for the near future, I will probably continue to always exhort and encourage moms on Mom's Day and reprove and rebuke fathers on Father's Day. If you're a student of the Scripture, you'll understand and appreciate that. Thank you, preacher. As a lost man, I realized that my mom wasn't the best mom. And yet, all through the years, I gave her a seeming pass because I placed more responsibility upon the men that were either in or out of my life than I did the women. Once I became a student of the Bible, I also came to realize how important of a role a mom can play, even in seemingly bad situations. Again, does she get a pass? No. She gets the same grace Hagar received to make better choices for her future. Isn't the Bible wonderful? I realize the Scripture's main theme is Christ. I've said that already. But you and I also must draw a conclusion how much women, and more specifically moms, play in the totality of the theme in Scripture. Do we have Jesus without the genealogy we just read? And in that genealogy, there is an attack from the garden forward on that seed. And let me remind you, for all those, why doesn't the Bible speak about this or this or this for me? Because it has a theme. You didn't write it. God did. There's an intended purpose in it. We just have to find it. But in there, sprinkled in and woven through all the pages, there's other little things that we can gather from it. More specifically, moms play a theme in Scripture. For example, let me give you a few as an introduction. For example, Eve, we already mentioned her. Even with her bad choices, her good choices came through when her firstborn came. And she stated this, I have gotten a man from the Lord. What was her intentions when she said that? I believe she was confident that this son would crush the serpent to get them back into the garden. Because it was prophesied to her. God said to her, you're going to have a son, and that son is going to what? Is going to crush, his heel's going to get bruised, but he's going to crush the head of the serpent. So she says here, and then all of a sudden, next chapter, after they've been banished, they wanted to get back in there. They wanted to get back into a relationship with God. It had been broken. And she says, here we go, here it is. Look at this, how quick this happened. She didn't realize it was going to take a couple thousand years and a few more moms than that. She still was confident with that. She was making better choices. They were teaching their sons how to sacrifice, how to get back in there, what that sacrifice meant, and so on and so forth. Or we could speak this morning of Sarah and all she brought to the table and taught or should teach women today. I don't know. I've been listening to this one and that one. You know, it's amazing to me how much you can learn just reading the Bible. Finding a character in the Bible and patterning your life after that character. Hebrews 11 in verse 11 says this, Hall of Faith again. Doesn't just mention men in the Hall of Faith. It's got women scattered throughout the Hall of Faith. Through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age. We all know what that means, right? Okay. I didn't know what level of knowledge we are in here this morning. She's past age. She's past that time to have a child. Because she judged him. Watch this. She judged him faithful who had promised. God showed up in her tent one day and said, "You're going to have a child." And she laughed at him. And then she listened and she paid attention and she said, "Just maybe. Maybe he knows what he's talking about." Therefore sprang there even of one, Isaac, who was a picture of what? Christ. Isaac is a new Old Testament picture to us of a New Testament reality. That God, that Abraham would take his only begotten son. Hagar wasn't, Hagar and all that stuff. That was a flesh fulfillment, not a divine fulfillment that God said. There's a two sides to this coin, if you will. Therefore sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore innumerable. Or we could look in 1 Peter where it says of Sarah, chapter 3, verse 5, "For after this manner in the old time, the holy women also who trusted in God," watch this, here's some examples, "adorned themselves, being in subjection to their own husbands." Well, that's a nasty word today, isn't it? Well, if you knew my husband, doesn't matter. What's the Bible say? Peter says you can win him over by your conversation. Most of them chase him off to the rooftop. You're encouraging me this morning, Pastor. You're exhorting me. I'm trying. "Even as Sarah," verse 6, "obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters ye are as long as ye do well, and are not afraid with any amazement." Or we could talk about, here's a third one, we could speak of Jochebed. Watch this. Jochebed, during a nationally tumultuous time. You think the news is bad now. Imagine reading on what's the town? Egypt, right? Yeah, they were in Egypt. The Egypt Journal. What's this thing called here? Akron. Imagine reading from the Egypt Beacon Journal that moms are, the government, the local government, is tossing babies in the Nile for the alligators to eat them. Jochebed, during a nationally tumultuous time, she and her husband kept their head, hid their newborn child, and then her and their daughter carried out a life-threatening mission. Hebrews 11, Exodus chapter 3 tells us of the story, how that was executed. Hebrews, Hall of Faith again, another woman in it. "By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw he was a proper child. And they were not afraid of the king's commandments." They ain't hiding him nowadays. Hannah's Hope and Graham Rhodes helping him. Because they're willingly just tossing him into the Nile for the alligators to eat up. Amen? Ought to break our hearts. All, watch this. All so that we now have the record of mankind. We have the record of mankind. In the beginning, God. We don't have those words from the Bible if Jochebed didn't see her child and see the potential in her child. Not is he going to be the next greatest basketball player. Not is he going to be the greatest soccer player. I'm not going to take him during services to somewhere else. I'm going to hide that child and protect that child and watch what God can do with that child if I keep him like the colt that was tied, ne'er a man sat on at the way that two ways met. Now we're just throwing him out there. Here's your iPad. Go help yourself. Go have a fun time. I'll figure it out somewhere else. Thank you, Jochebed. We have a history and a record of mankind, a history of the nation of Israel. We have the first five books of the Bible, not to include some pretty amazing miracles recorded. Actual, factual case of Noah's Ark. Actual, factual case can be proven, although disputed by many, can be proven that a group of people crossed the Red Sea and the chariots were overtaken, and they have found chariot wheels overlaid with gold on the bottom of the Red Sea, and yet we're refuting it constantly over and over and over again. We have that. Why do we have that? Jochebed. Jochebed said, he's a proper child. We're gonna and then what's the aged woman do? She gets her daughter, Miriam, hey, help me with this. We'll put him in the bulrushes. And we'll put him off and we'll watch this. We'll give back to God what we can't keep ourselves, and we'll entrust him to do what he does best. I could do this for hours, going through the Bible and highlighting one account after another of women who encountered difficult times and overcame the obstacles in them. Lest I don't present both sides properly, there is another side also recorded in Scripture where moms weren't, let's just say, the best. I just picked out a few. Herodias' daughter, you know her, right? You know her by her action, not by her name. She was asked by her wonderful mom to dance. Who does this? Asked by her wonderful mom to dance before her stepfather. And the Bible says that it pleased him. Now there's a lot. That's some muddy stuff. I don't even want to go there. But that's today. That's today. That's the you think, wow, man, them Bible people, woo. No, us people, since Eve took that bite, or Adam took that bite. Herodias' daughter, she then asked, after she pleased him with her dance, she asked for John the Baptist's head on a platter. And the rest is history. Hashtag supermom. Wouldn't everybody want to be her daughter? Wouldn't everybody want to be, hey, who's your mom? Oh, yeah. Or this one comes to mind. We all know Jezebel, right? Probably people thought I'd go right to her. We all know Jezebel. You know the name least chosen for a new bouncing baby girl? When's the last time I've met people named Judas. I ain't never met a woman named Jezebel. I've met some Jezebels. I ain't never met one named Jezebel. There's some that I wanted to name Jezebel, but there's none that physically on their birth certificate said that. Just want to be clear. She had a daughter. Her daughter's name was Athaliah. Her story's quite lengthy, but she was a chip off the old block. Following in her mom's footsteps and in a fit of anger and thirst for power, killed off all of her grandchildren. Isn't that just warm your heart right there? Come on, come to Gigi. That's what she did, didn't she? I'm just reading the Bible, man. We don't take this stuff and think this stuff. And can I tell you how many, Mike, do you think there's any grandmothers that have ever killed their grandkids? This isn't just Bible stuff. This is reality stuff. She kills off all of her grandchildren so they couldn't have the throne and then she could reign then on it. And just so we round off, we had three positives. We want to be balanced. Let's get three negatives. We all know the Mom of the Year award goes to this woman. Wait, how do they do it? And Mom of the Year award goes to 1 Kings 3. Scripture calls her a harlot. She's living with another harlot. No baby daddy named. And they both deliver a child around the same time. Not the greatest candidate already for Mom of the Year. She, in essence, smothers her child in her sleep. We don't know what was going on. We don't know if it was fentanyl. We don't know if she just had a little too much to drink that night. We don't know what was taken. Why would you imply that? Oh, I don't know. Maybe by the word harlot. She falls asleep. She smothers the child. Wakes up in the middle of the night. You know the story, right? You've read these wonderful... And these young kids are sitting here going, this is children's church? This is in the Bible, help! It is. And guess what? The more you shield it from your children, it's the reality of what's out there. Listen, you ought to have a little tear in your eye every once in a while when Mike and Emily bring some through. When we used to go to the floor in the hospital, I'm trying to think of it. Dora and Ziggy, whatever it was, and babies literally, and incubators. Literally, because of mom. No, preacher, you said at the beginning of this because it was dad. No, mom makes choices too. We all make them. Mom of the Year Award. She gets up, swaps her dead baby for the other woman's, lies about it before when she's brought before Solomon, then asks for the baby to be, yeah. No, she can have her. No, cut her in half. Ask for, these kids are looking. Jacob will be dismissed for children's church. Ask for the baby to be sawn in half to resolve it. Another, can I say sarcastically, supermom candidate. Let me squeeze this in here before I draw attention to my thought for this morning. Someone may say, having not read all the biblical accounts of people in Scripture, wow, there are some really terrible people out there. I agree, there are horrendous stories that I read in the Bible. Horrendous. The first time I read through my Bible, I was like, what in the world? You know, and let's not get to the guy that had the concubine and cut her in 12 pieces. I mean, there's just, people think everything in the Bible is supposed to be positive. No, it's balanced. God is showing us our sinfulness, our depravity, how wicked we are. And we see it in the genealogy, and I don't want to get ahead of myself, that we finally, what? We get deliverance from that deceptive, deceitful devil behavior in Christ. Because the bite of the apple that took us into the ditch, He comes and brings us out of the ditch because of a mom, because of a genealogy. And so let me squeeze this in real quick. I agree there's some bad things that take place in Scripture. Some are very hard for me to get my head around. But let me say this, Scripture's not the only place recording accounts, and only for those in Scripture. God keeps good records, and He keeps these records on all of us. So all of us need a Savior. God understands each and every circumstance and how we handle and react to them. This is why our text this morning is so special, or should be. Scripture shows us the good, the bad, and the ugly. We can read within this genealogy that we read as our text for this morning. We can read the bad in it. We can read the ugly in it. But woven into the lineage of Christ, of all people, you'd think, of all people in His lineage, you know, you can sit there and say, man, poor me, my story, my life has just been so terrible. No, God doesn't understand. He doesn't. How'd you like to have that read? Jesus is just sitting around the house one day. Joseph and him have taken a break from, you know, doing some carpentry work. And, hey, Dad, what's that? Oh, it's the family Bible. He starts looking through it, knowing Jewish people kept good records. And he starts looking. He says, man, my great-great-great-great-great-mama was, and my great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great Gigi was. He starts thinking about, don't think you're immune to this stuff. This is our need for a Savior. Why did God descend His throne? So that we could ascend to His throne? Because of all the good, the bad, and the ugly in these, in life in general. Don't just come to church. What's the purpose of coming to church? There's a big purpose in coming to the church. To realize how fallen we are. And how in need of a Savior we are. And watch this. I'm not a Calvinist. I don't believe whatever will be, will be. I believe in choices, decisions. You have to make one. I believe in the free will of man. God warned Adam and Eve of the knowledge of the tree of good and evil, thou shalt not eat. For the day that thou eatest therein, thou shalt surely die. Here comes slippery Satan. comes in and gets her off to the side. Adam obviously got so caught up in his job, keeping the garden, that was quite a task. Naming all the animals, that was quite a task. I'll tell you what, I'd come to church. Preacher, it ain't Father's Day. I know. I know it ain't, but I just want to slide it in there. I'd come to church, but I'll tell you what, that's one of my only days I got off. I'm working, I'm providing for my family. No, you ain't. Provision for a family is not just finances. It's faith. You understand what got us here, and you're going to guide us to get us out of here, because we already see we can if you just point us to Him. We both play a part, don't we, Mom and Dad? Woven into the lineage of Christ of all people, we find four women. Four of them are named specifically. One is named by the offense that placed her there. And each of those tell an inspirational story of overcoming obstacles to make a world of a difference. Before I give you my thought, can I share a few quotes? Just to set the tempo and maybe inspire somebody today. Preacher, you're trying to inspire me? I sure am. I sure am. There's no telling how many lives in here could be changed by a mom who made the right decision. A dad who was around to help her make the right decision. Was it Joshua who said, choose you to stay whom you shall serve? As for me and my house. He said, we're going to serve the Lord. I remember, I know y'all think she's an angel. Her wings are folded under her little jacket she wears to church. But there was many a days, Mike Lovett, went by Mike in my previous administration. I'd say, I don't care if it helped hair lips you or the devil, we're going to church. Well, you ain't married to my wife. No, I'm not, and I'm glad I ain't. Got my own problems. It's her birthday. I know. She knows. It's not been an easy road. It's not supposed to be. Can anybody raise their hand and just say, man, this has been an easy one, boy. It's been free sailing. No. It's choices. It's decisions you make. And you know how much easier you are in making the decisions? When you see that somebody else made them and made good decisions, and those good decisions yielded the peaceable fruit of righteousness. We have one mentioned by our offense. Let me give you some quotes. Abraham Lincoln said this, no man is poor who has a godly mother. Some of you in here, second generation, I don't know, third generation. You got a mom that's in church. She's in church every week. She's doing the best she can. She ain't perfect. I know you'll get to a place you'll rub it in her nose one day till you have kids and we can look at your choices and decisions. But at this moment, every once in a while, maybe in a church service or in a card or in whatever way you can possibly do it, you ought to just say, thank you. Thank you. I know it's not easy today. I know the tide is, if there's anybody that is being pushed in today's generation, it's women and moms and young ladies to conform to a standard that we already see doesn't work. No man is poor who has a godly mother. King Lemuel said this in just some words he wrote on a piece of paper. Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. The heart of her husband, he watched his dad love his mom, and she was lovable because she was in submission. Not she wasn't a doormat. She was in submission to God. And because she was in submission to God, it made him easily to love her. It's a two-way street. The heart of her husband does safely trust in her so that he shall have no need of spoil. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. He said this as well later on. Her children arise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praiseth her. Ralph Waldo Emerson said this, men are what their mothers made them. Let that sink in for a minute. I believe I've always learned from the bad more than the good. I don't know if my mom would have been a good mom, what I would have turned out like. Her bad, poor decisions got me where I'm at today. And I'll say this, for that I thank her. It doesn't happen for everybody. Have you looked around at the young men today? Under-fathered, over-mothered. Here's something unknown. I couldn't find a name attributed to this. To the world, you are a mother. But to your family, you are the world. With that being said, I want to look at five moms. Five moms in our text and preach on this thought. Five moms that made a world of difference. Five moms that made a world of difference. You picked five, preacher. There's a lot of stories there. I'm going to skim the surface. I want to whet your appetite. You go back and study them out for yourself, ladies. You young girls, study these ladies out. See how much of a blessing their story can reveal to you. First one, Tamar, tells us a story of overcoming dishonesty. Dishonesty. Her story can be found in Genesis 38. I will not read that from that. I will just highlight some things. I encourage you yourself to read it out. I don't want to get in the weeds in our message with each of these accounts or to become a series. If you've been saved any length of time, you should have read through your Bible and came across each of these. In brief, she was married and her husband died. Jewish law, the brother took her as wife. And I, again, encourage you to read her story. Then brother number three is too young and her father-in-law promises that she can marry him when he gets older. He then lies, cheats, and steals. If you'll read the story, you'll understand why I said each of those words, especially the stealing from her, to then say of her that she should be burnt. Ray Lynn, where you at? What a father-in-law that is, huh? Genesis 38:26 says this so, and Judah acknowledged them, these men that came, and she came as well and told her story. And Judah said, Judah was the father-in-law, she hath been more righteous than I because that I gave her not to Shelah, my son. And he knew her, I encourage you to read the story, and he knew her again no more. She then births two children, one being named Perez, the other being named Zerah. Both of them are mentioned in the genealogy. What's the lesson to be learned? Tells us the story of overcoming honesty. You ever been lied to? You ever been lied to over and over and over and over again by somebody that shouldn't lie to you? And then all of a sudden, because they lie to you, you think it gives you a free pass to lie to somebody else? Can I just say this as somebody that, let's just use the term, am a survivor? Just because somebody hurt me doesn't mean I have the right to hurt somebody else. I said to a young lady one time, I get it. I see you. I hear you. I know you've been hurt your whole life. I know there's devastation in your life. But now you crying and complaining about those that hurt you, you're hurting the ones that haven't. Tamar makes a decision. She overcame dishonesty. Just because somebody lies on you don't mean you have to lie on them. Render not what? Evil unto evil. Number two, you thought we were going to get real deep into these, didn't you? Number two, we have Rahab. I say Rahab, we could pronounce it Rahab. That is just the Greek wording of the word Rahab. We know that by the genealogical record. What's Rahab teach us? Tamar teaches us or tells us the story of overcoming dishonesty. Rahab tells us the story of overcoming difficulties. Her story can be found in Joshua chapter 2 through 6, where we read she is an harlot. What a way to start out, huh? The deck, the cards, the whole thing's already stacked against you. I've said it before, that harlot on the street corner in Akron or wherever you may bump into her and see her, she didn't start there. Somebody made a decision before her, and somebody needs to break the chains of that. You break the chains of it, the dishonesty, by making good choices. She tells us a story of overcoming difficulties. I didn't choose the word difficulty to refer what she overcame because she was an harlot, but it was one of many difficulties she encountered, if you read her story. Her life was a difficulty. Her home was a difficulty. Her community was a difficulty. Then all of a sudden, all that she knew was gone in a moment, rubble. But she made a decision for her family, didn't she? I recently watched a documentary. I don't know if anybody's seen it. I said recently I had a rough bout. The rough bout was watching this documentary. The documentary is called He Calls Me Daughter. And it basically is about father wounds. The wounds that a father causes on a daughter. And all you got to do is be a son and be wounded and just make the application as well. Very difficult. I was peeling onions through the whole thing. I listened to the testimony of an harlot throughout the documentary. She tells a story. She tells a story how she overcame. Rahab, in the midst of numerous difficulties and from where she came, and what we read, not a foundation for good choices, she saw God working and then by faith made a decision. That woman in the documentary came to know Christ. She made a decision. She decided to get out of that in all the difficulties. You don't have to be consumed by the things that have consumed you. You can make your way out of it. Listen, I know the fighters and all the athletes put their little tattoo on their chest that says, "I can." Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ. That's not what it means. It means we can do all things through Christ in the difficulties, the carnal things that attack us, not the carnal things that we want to achieve, the spiritual things that we want to achieve. We can only achieve them through Christ in making the right decision. She, Tamar, overcame dishonesty. Rahab overcame difficulties. Rahab, in the midst of numerous difficulties, and from where she came and what we read, not a foundation for good choices by any means. She saw God working and then by faith made a decision. And that decision, in the face of many difficulties, places her in the path of a man by the name of Salmon from the children of Israel. He was able to be there because he was one of the children that followed Joshua and Caleb and believed the promises in what the spies saw. Not denied them. And he, because he was there and he was doing things by faith, all of a sudden the two of them locked eyes on each other, and you know the picture of it. They're running across the field to each other and they're married and they have children. Woven again into the genealogy of the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Tamar teaches us what? You can overcome dishonesty. Rahab teaches us what? You can overcome difficulties. Here's the third of preposition in our genealogy. Tells us, Ruth tells us a story of overcoming death. Specifically, the death of her spouse. And let me say this. Rahab overcame death. Tamar overcame death. She lost two husbands. I'm just trying to highlight each something, but all of it. It's not just one difficulty to overcome. A lot of times, Mom, you got to overcome a lot of difficulties. The cards are, and if you're trying to do something for God, the cards are definitely going to be stacked against you. Ruth tells us the story of overcoming death, specifically the death of her spouse. Her story can be found in the book named after her. She's a Moabite. If you've read your Bible, you know where they came from. another mom and dad that made some wonderful decisions. She's a Moabite who married Elimelech's son after he sojourned from Bethlehem, Judah during a famine. He just, you know, his job moved him. Gas prices got high. Things became difficult. Couldn't be as faithful to church. You know, I had to make a living. Made a decision. You know how many people I've seen make decisions and say, my job moved me? Well, did you find a church there? Well, I'll find one when I get there. So you're motivated by your job, sir. You're not motivated by the Lord Jesus Christ. You don't believe that man shall live by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. You don't believe that's where daily bread comes from. You believe it's hand given to you by somebody else. It's the difference in believing the Scriptures. That word sojourn here means to turn aside from, to shrink, or to fear. We see what motivated Elimelech. His sons marry. They marry lost girls. Elimelech dies. The sons dies. There she is. Never really handed anything of sufficiency to succeed with, but she watched Naomi. Naomi heads back to Bethlehem, Judah. She left full, came home what? Empty. Bitter. She goes back to Bethlehem, Judah. Ruth decides to cleave unto her. And gives. Now, Naomi encouraged her. Now, you just stay. I don't have any more sons. Similar to the Tamar situation. I don't have a son for you to marry. You got to go. There's no reason to follow me. I have nothing to give you. No, she watched Naomi. She heads back, but she gives these famous words out of the mouth of a Moabitess who just lost her husband. She's lost everything she knows. You know how many people I've seen, somebody dies in their family and they just absolutely spin out of control? They don't set their eyes on somebody that's made it before. Why should the aged women teach the younger women? Because the aged women, Miss Paula, teach us that having lost our son, having lost our spouse, we can still be faithful to the house of God and be participatory in the things of God and set an example and hold the diapers of people that can someday change this world. Why is it we can't make these applications ourselves in Scripture? She makes this famous statement. After Naomi says, go. I have nothing to offer you. Entreat me not to leave thee, or to return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go. Where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God my God. Where thou diest, will I die, and there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me and more also, if aught but death part thee and me. Verse 18 says this, when she saw that she was steadfastly, Naomi saw that she was steadfastly minded to go with her, then she left speaking unto her. She ain't going to change her mind. Miss Linda, I hope we honored you today. Some in here say, well, I ain't got much of a mom. There's moms in church that don't have children. Can I just say this? You can have children if you set the standard for them to follow something. I have 12 grandchildren. But you know how many people call me Papa? That might not have a papa? Do you know how many I might be a father figure to? Why? Because it is provided. She's providing that. Get around her in the kitchen. Get her around her after services. Get around her after she's doing something. Do what Ruth did. Ruth watched Naomi, and she saw something in Naomi and said, I'm going to follow that. She teaches us that you can overcome death. That decision in the face of death places her, watch this, that decision, Miss Sam, places her within the reach of Boaz. And the outcome we read of in our text, he's the kinsman redeemer. He is a picture of what? Christ. And you know what Ruth is a picture of? You and I. You and I. And if we just get near him, he'll see us. And watch this. There was an auction that took place.
There was somebody that had full rights to her under Jewish law. He wanted her land, not her love. She throws her shoe at him. There's a whole message in that. Spits on him, I think, too. And then Boaz comes in and says, I'll take her. Boaz wanted her love and got her land. Naomi made a world of difference, didn't she? Ruth made a world of difference. She taught us that a Gentile can be brought into the fold. The wild branch can be grafted into the natural vine. That decision in the face of death places her within the reach of Boaz and the outcome we read of in our text. Next, we read of her that had been, number four, had been the wife of Urias. How would you like to be referred to as that? Bathsheba. What's Bathsheba teach us? Tamar teaches us what? The story of overcoming dishonesty. Rahab teaches us the story of overcoming difficulties. Ruth teaches us the story of overcoming death. Bathsheba teaches us the story of overcoming devastation. Her story can be found in 2 Samuel and 1 Kings. Read it. The devastation begins as Samuel tells us David sent messengers. Watch this now. And took her. Took her. Look that word up. Instead of being protected by power, King David, she was violated by that power. Violated in the most heinous way. She was not a complicit in this situation, as many people try and make it. He was King David. In that dispensation of time, he was a king. You better answer to him. It's like having a boss that violates a worker. Now we have all kinds of policies and procedures of sexual harassment, but how much sexual harassment takes place in the workplace? Just because maybe a young mom's trying to make her way. I mean, I could give you 20,000 illustrations. She's the weaker vessel. Chivalry's been dead a long time ago. That's why I still don't talk to women in private. I am in a position of power. I'm not touchy-feely, hugging and everything else. I don't want her to feel like or say something because of my power. It has been an absolute violation in the church through the years. And we see it here. Bathsheba tells us the story of overcoming devastation. Instead of being protected by power, she was violated by that power. If that wasn't bad enough, she then, as a result, is left with a child from that encounter. The abusive power in her life, when he hears of this, then sends for her husband in hopes to cover up the sin. The husband will come back. He'll spend time with his wife. He'll go back to the field. Everything will be okay. They'll check. 9 months. Everything looks good. He is more honorable than the king. He sleeps at the door of the king. Now the king's upset. He sends him out. Says put him in the heat of the battle and then withdraw the troops. And the rest of the story, Uriah dies. The abuse of power in her life, when he hears of this, then sends for her husband, hopes to cover his sin. When his commander, her husband, is more loyal to him than he is, Uriah is killed. Mourning the loss of her husband and how that unfolded, the next devastating event is the loss of her child who dies. In the face of one devastating thing after another, her abuser repents, asks for her forgiveness, honors her, makes amends for his mistakes. She makes godly choices after choice after choice after choice, and then she becomes the mother of Solomon. Works with Nathan, the man of God, to do what? Save the kingdom from Adonijah. She was not about to allow the devastation that fell upon her to cripple her life for life. And now we have the book of Proverbs. Thank you, Bathsheba. Thank you for the devastation and that you overcame it. Lastly, we have Mary. Tamar tells us what, Mom?
you can overcome dishonesty. Rahab teaches us you can overcome difficulties. Well, I'm not going to probably call Pastor anytime soon and say, Pastor, I'm really struggling. I've had some dishonesty in my life. I've had some difficulties in my life. I've had death in my life. There's been things that have been very devastating to me because he's already told me the answer for it. Let me just plug this in there. There's counseling sessions 3 times a week. Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday. Above and beyond that, if there's personal counseling, it can be done. But I'm going to tell you what, if you take those 3 services, dig deeper into the counseling that was given, you'd be surprised how much your life would change. If you make a steady diet of Romans to Jude, which is very easy to read in a very short period of time, you'd be surprised how your life would be transformed. And choices would become much easier. What's Mary teach us? Mary tells us a story of overcoming disruption. I could even say disrespect as to what others said of her afterwards. Her story is found in the Gospels and ought to be an inspiration to every young girl. She's not a mom yet. She's a virgin. She's a virgin that chooses to be a virgin. Let me ask you this, is that even a word in church anymore? Do people even save themselves until marriage? It's uncomfortable, isn't it? We have just accepted whatever just the world tosses at us. This young lady didn't accept it. She chose. You say, well, that's easy to say. I mean, it was biblical times. Was it? Roman times? Roman soldiers could take women at will with no regret or remorse. And here's Mary. Maybe it was because Mary wasn't running in the places where, you know, there was a policy way years ago when I was, I guess, had a little bit more standards than I do now. Mama and Tina didn't go anywhere without a male. And Mama and Tina didn't ever go anywhere after dark. And Mama and Tina in Africa knew not to go anywhere after dark. You know why? Because in the dark, very difficult things happen. Get the blotter report for Kent in a college town. Do the statistics on what happens to some of them young ladies over there. Because they're you say that doesn't give anybody any right. No, it doesn't. But I'm going to tell you what. If I stay out of the bar, I'm not going to get drunk. If I stay out of the bar, yeah, that's right. Who had to think that over a little bit, Noah? I'm just saying, be in the right place at the right time, and she did that. Her life was absolutely disrupted, but in a good way. She kept her body. She kept her soul. She kept her spirit. And then be chosen by God to be a vessel unto honor for the Lord. No, God never intended for her to be dressed in blue and worshiped. But rather to be an example for other prospective wives and mothers. That purity, Alicia, Miley, Peyton, McKaylee, Katie, you other young ladies, purity, purity always prevails. Always prevails. In a Roman environment with her religion and choices challenged every day around her, she kept herself. And in the face of disruption and later vile disrespect from others around her who accused her, and even theologians today who don't believe in the immaculate conception that God would come upon a woman prophesied in Scripture and she'd be with child, they explain it away by an illegitimate relationship. That's what theologians do. No, God covered her. Covered her. My children all have A-positive blood. You know why? Because Dad has A-positive blood. The children get the blood of the Father. Guess what Jesus got? He got the blood of God, not Joseph. Sinless, immaculate, perfect, That's why it could be sacrificed for our sin that had been tainted by Adam. She remembered. She remembered when she was disrupted and disrespected. She remembered the voice of the archangel, "Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women." And that disruption carried her through for years until she saw her son crucified for the sins of the world. Five moms who I said at the beginning made a world of difference. What was the world of difference? We have a Savior. Or I could change it to this. Five moms who made a different world. Made a different world for you and I. The question I want to ask, ma'am, mom, young ladies, what are you overcoming so somebody's world can be different? I remember going to court one day with a mom and just sat there, the testimonial witness. Whew, talk about disruption. Talk about devastation. Talk about death. I sat in that courtroom. I just wept. Went back home. This is what I said. Where was the preacher when my mom needed that? Where was the man of God that would sit there and hold the hands and pray and be a testimonial character witness to help her to make better decisions? It wasn't. And I challenge each and every woman in here this morning. You don't know what you're raising, but you could be raising the next potential pastor of this church, missionary to India, businessman that loves his workers, father that's dedicated to his family, his children, and continual legacy. That only happens when you make the right decisions. And those decisions are better to be made finding out where they all come from. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him. Esther, what? Came along for such a time as this. There's somebody in your social circle, mom, that needs you to make better decisions. And I challenge you this morning. I don't know where I'd be today if my mom made better decisions. I might not be saved. But I know maybe if she did, I wouldn't have these things always bouncing around in my head that I got to fight. Father, we'd ask you to help us today. Help the moms in here to realize how important they are. Five moms in Scripture that absolutely changed the world I live in because they made the right choices at the right time in very difficult circumstances. Help us, I plead, touch that mom today that needs it most. I plead in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's all stand to our feet.